Hello, everyone, and welcome to the class. This is David A. Cox with PCClassesOnline.com, the world's first completely free virtual classroom service. You can check out our website. We have members in over 160 countries, and our website, of course, is PCClassesOnline.com. Today, we're going to be discussing the brand new version of Final Cut Pro, version 10, and this has been one of the most requested classes we have ever received. And the reason why it took me so long to produce this class is I really wanted to take my time and do the absolute best job that I could to put out something out there that would teach anyone who's brand new to the software how to use it. I do a lot of research before doing any of our videos, and I looked on the internet for other people who had done classes on Final Cut Pro, and I found one of two things usually to be the case. The people who were good were typically charging $200 to $300 in order to buy the video on to learn how to use Final Cut Pro. The others were typically kids who, some of them seemed to, their voices hadn't quite changed, and really skipped a lot of key features that someone who would be a new user would really need to understand in order to grasp the concept. So it is my goal today to hopefully explain this as clear as possible. I'm going to try to keep the pacing very even so that all of you can follow me. You'll also notice that as you're watching this video, I'm going to go that extra mile in this class, and when I click, I'm going to zoom in and make sure that you can really see where I'm clicking, just to make that learning process a little bit easier. Now, if you have not yet purchased Final Cut Pro, you do it through the App Store on the Mac. So you just go to the Apple icon at the top left of your screen, go to App Store, and you'll find it in there. It is $299. If that sounds like a lot of money, it's really not, considering the last version was around $1,000. So the other thing you are going to want for most people, if you're going to be using Final Cut Pro, is a really good external hard drive to store your footage. Now, different hard drives I would recommend for different people based on need. And if you want to see all the hard drives that we recommend, you can go to our website at PCClassesOnline.com, and you'll see that we have a brand new store page. And this is just a place where we put links to all of the products that we recommend, because not all hard drives are made equally. To give you an example, the worst hard drive out there, I've said this in past classes that we've taught, are hard drives made by the company LaCie. They have a very high fail rate, and I am not a fan. So when you open up Final Cut Pro, this is going to be the kind of screen you're going to see, and I'm going to go over the different aspects of editing, how to add things like effects, titles, and music, and a few other tips that I've picked up down the road. So when you first open up the software, the first thing you're going to want to do is to create a new project. And to do that, you just go to File and New Project. It just means you're creating a new video. From there, you're going to start to create a series of events. And the easiest way to think of an event is like a folder for your footage. So let's pretend you're going to be creating a video about your honeymoon, and maybe you go on a cruise, okay, all over different countries. One event might be the location that you are on day one, or maybe the flight to get to the cruise. Event number two might be the first country you visit, and so on and so forth. It's just an easy way to organize your footage. If you're shooting a real film where you have actors and multiple cameras, event one is probably going to be scene one, event two is going to be scene two, etc. And important to know, if you're going to be using an external hard drive, before you create your event, make sure you're clicked over here at the top left on that external hard drive when you create the actual event. Because we're doing a demo right now, I actually already have one here pre-planned, we're going to be using some footage that I shot several weeks ago, but I'm going to still walk you through the process. So go back up here to File, hit New Event, it's the third item down, and it's going to ask you to click here to import your media. Pretty simple. So we click that, it opens up a browser. Now if this is footage that you have, you can just select the files individually, all at once, whatever you like. If you have an actual camera, at this point you would plug in your camera to your computer and it will walk you through the import process. So this footage that we're going to be using, for those of you who have never heard of us or myself, one of the things I do is I'm actually a drone pilot. I have an aerial drone that I use for photography and videography purposes. So we're going to be using some of the footage that I shot just for fun a couple weeks ago. And it's going to ask us, are we adding this to a existing event? Or this technically is another place where you can go to create a new event. So we'll hit import. And one of the things I love about this is that even though I just clicked import, you can immediately start to use this footage. Even though it's not done analyzing all that footage, you still can start the process. So let's go through how to actually import your footage. Now, there's different ways to do it, and some ways just tend to be better than others. And we're going to start off with talking about some of the features you see over here on the left-hand side of my screen. So let's talk about some of the buttons first. This little icon that you see right here, all the way on the left, will simply hide that event library. So if you only have one event that you're really working with, you can just click that button to hide it, and you can have more space to see the actual footage that you're working with. The little gear icon here is your different options to group events. We're not going to really be going over that today. I think you'll see these two buttons here. These are just different ways to view your footage. The way I recommend is the one that you see currently, the one on the left. If you go to the one on the right, it sort of is like cover flow view on the Mac or in iTunes, and you can click through these different clips. It just isn't, for me, as pleasurable, I guess, a way to view your footage, so I don't really recommend it. Now what we're going to do is we're going to start the process of determining endpoint and outpoints to our footage. So saying, what is the beginning part of this clip that I want to create and what is the outpoint, and then the process of bringing it here into our storyline, that's what the bottom part of the screen is called, to actually do the edit. Now I'm going to start up here, and you'll notice that as I move my cursor over the footage, not so much now, let me try to get it. There we go. Now you can see it a little bit better. As I move my cursor, it's showing me on the right-hand side of the screen where the footage is. That process is called scrubbing. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to find here, let's find just before I take off, and I think I'll cut in just as I'm flying, just starting to take off. Okay, so right here seems to be a good place, and the easy way to create an endpoint is to tap on your keyboard the letter I, pretty easy, in I for endpoint, O for outpoint. So we'll tap I. Now, anytime you want to play the footage, wherever your playhead is, all you have to do is tap the spacebar. Okay, so we're now up in the air, and now I'm going to pause it. Let's say I want to now cut, and I want to already be in the air. So now to create that outpoint, once again, I'm going to tap the letter O. And you can see it's kind of cropped my shot right there. Now to bring it into my storyline, there's a couple different ways I could do it. I could theoretically just take this clip, drag it, and drop it there. But if you're dealing with a lot of footage, that can be kind of cumbersome. So there is an easier way to do it, and it has to do with these three buttons that you see right here. Now, if you are on an American keyboard, I want you to look at your keyboard right now. And you'll notice that the letters Q, W, and E are all right next to each other. Those are the three shortcut keys for what I am about to show you. And if you ever want to change any of the shortcuts that I'm about to show you throughout this class, please stay tuned, because at the end, I'm going to show you where you can go to find all of those shortcuts and also how to modify them. So here you'll see we have three buttons. The first one here is what you would, if you tap the letter Q, it's going to put it to the top part of your storyline. So typically, in most cases, that would be B-roll. So if I'm doing an interview, sometimes you have a, say you're interviewing someone who works in a restaurant, you'll have the interview, it'll go back and forth between the subject and the person who's asking the questions, and then you'll cut to B-roll of them in action, waiting, okay? Waiting tables. So that would be a case where I'd probably use this button. The next one here is W, and the W key is going to put it in between two clips. And if you look at this icon here, it pretty much shows just that. So if I have two clips that I've already put into my storyline, and I want to drop that in the middle, that's the easy way to do it. And finally, the one that personally I use the most is used by using the E key, which will put it at the end of your storyline. Okay, now because it's the very first clip, it really doesn't matter which one I use. So let's just tap the letter E, And you'll see it puts it right down here into my storyline. Let's grab some more footage here. Okay. And I'll just hit the I key. Let's play it out a little bit. I'm still working on creating some better stabilizers for my drone so that I don't have so much shaking here. Okay. This is just a dummy clip, so I think we can not be so picky about what we use. Now let's scroll through here. And let's just do some here. Okay, so now we've got a few clips that we can start working with. A couple other things I do want to show you here are these three buttons here. You see we have a green star, sort of a hollow star, and an X. Now, this tends to be more than anything for people who are using, who are creating an actual video with actors where you have different takes. So let me give you an example of where this would be really helpful. So the green star, when you have footage that is highlighted, the green star means it's a good shot, thumbs up, favorite in this case. The hollow one means that if you've already marked it as favorite and then you see another shot that's even better, this will basically undo that selection. Finally, here you have the X, which is reject. It will actually delete that portion of the clip. It's an easy way, if you have a lot of footage, you can just kind of go through everything. Everything you don't like, it just gets it out of your event so that all you have left is your good shots. It's a handy feature. Also here, you'll see that we have a little key icon, and that is your keyword editor. So if, let's say I want to, Sam, this is going to be a collaboration of drone footage from Cape Cod. I might assign a keyword to this shot called Lighthouse so that as I compose all of my footage together, I can just go to the keyword lighthouse and I'll see all the different lighthouse shots that I have as an example. Next, I want to talk about this little button right here. Now, this, for most of you, it's going to actually look like this. I was doing a little prep work before we started today. So this arrow is where you would find a lot of the different tools that in the previous version of Final Cut Pro would have been over here hanging out on the right-hand side. So your select tool is pretty basic. It's the arrow key, all right? The T, that's the hotkey for it, is trim. So let's say this shot here, you know what? I really don't like the way it ended. I want to bring it in a couple frames. I just put it here, and I just drag a little bit to the left, and you can see it's cutting in, okay? So it's indenting it at the very end. Next, we have the position key. Now, position key is great for moving around clips. Also, let me give you another example. Let's say I want to have some black space in between these two. Maybe I want to have titles in between the shots. Well, what I can do is I can take this and I can just move it and it'll stay there, okay? So I can have this space here to put another shot or do whatever I want. I can also use this to move the clip up above or below the timeline. Some people like to do that. Next here, we have the range selector. And the best way to explain how the range selector works, I can't really show you right here, but let's say you are dealing with actors and there's a portion of a clip that you need to change the levels on. Maybe you need to bring it up. It got very, very quiet. One of the actors starts to speak very quietly. You don't want to bring up the audio levels for the entire clip, just a portion. So what you can do with the range selector is tell it, okay, just select here through here, and whatever changes I make, it's not going to affect the outside boundaries of this clip, but I could tweak the audio levels just for that portion. Okay, that's my best example for what that does. The blade tool creates cuts. So if I want to take this shot here and I want to cut it into two separate shots, I can just tap the B key on my keyboard, or I can go up here and go to blade. And then I just put my cursor where I want the cut to take place and click. And you can see it's now separated into two different clips. Next, we have the zoom key. Okay. Now, you can also use this little slide bar down here, but this will really go in far. So if I want to get down to the nitty gritty and I want to get on the exact frame that I want this clip to start, I can just click right here. And the more I do, it's going to really zoom in on it. So now maybe I want to trim it to exactly one frame in, and that's how I would do that. Next, we have the hand button here. Don't know really many people who actually use this, because if you're on a laptop or if you're on a desktop and have a Magic Trackpad, you can just use multi-touch to kind of go back and forth. Other than that, it doesn't really play much of a role. So personally, I almost never use that. Now let's get to over here on the right-hand side and some of the different tools that we have. One of the ones I want to go over today, and this is definitely something that I would normally teach in more advanced class, but I want to talk a little bit about color correction, especially a trick that is going to, for those of you who use this kind of tool, is going to be very, very helpful. So let's say I want to color correct this clip. The way it is right now, this is the raw footage. It's kind of bland. We can brighten up all the different colors. Here's how you do it. Go to this little magic wand icon here. And you can see what we can do is we can go to Show Color Board. And now, over here at the top right, where I would normally have the inspector, I'll show you that in a little bit, I can deal with the saturation or the color. And there's a couple of different dots here. So the black, the gray, and the white, these are your shadows, midtones, and highlights. So you can see that if I play with any of them, it changes the overall look of my footage. Okay, so this is going to warm it up a little bit. Actually, when you warm this up a little bit, it looks almost older. I can change the midtones, make those a little bit darker, take the highlights, get them however I want them to be. Just give it an overall different look. And this one right here is kind of your master. It's the global settings. So it'll, if you want to give the whole shot a real twist, if you want to tint it, this is one way that you can do it. Usually, though, when you use this feature, you're going to have to tweak these as well to give you that really perfect look. You also can go over here to saturation and have access to the same thing. So one of the tricks I always use in my clips that I do is I always up the saturation. More than anything, I usually deal with the shadows, but let's see how it does here. Okay, so it's really just making certain colors pop. If I want to tweak it a little bit, you can see right now I'm dealing with the highlights. When you up the highlights more than anything, I find your sky gets to be that really perfect blue shade. The shadows, we can see how those look. So now we've got that kind of very interesting look to it. Okay, so we've got that. That is one of the key things I wanted to show you in regards to color. All right, now here's one other key critical part I want to show you. Now when you're not here in color mode, you're going to have this little button right here, which is your inspector. Now, normally on the Mac, when you go into the inspector, it's almost always a lowercase I in a circle. For some reason, on Final Cut Pro, it looks like this icon right here. So this is all your different effects that you've got going on. So whether you're dealing with color correction, or if you're like me, you're going to be dealing with stabilization as a drone, or rolling shutter effect. As you're doing this and you're adding different effects to different shots, especially color correction, you're going to find that you're going to have to, theoretically, you're going to want to make this effect consistent for all of your videos. So let's actually move this clip over just so that it's right next to our, oops, just so it's right next to the other clips here. Now, right now, these shots look completely different. And instead of having to go through every single shot and color correct every single shot, there is a way that you can apply every effect that's on this clip to the other clips. Here's how you do it. If you were doing a Word document and you were going to do this, you do copy and paste, right? And everyone knows copy is Command C and paste is Command V, as in Victor. It's very similar, but not quite. The way you do it is you highlight your clip here so that it's yellow. You're going to hit Command C on your keyboard. And now, for whatever reason, it's ever so slightly different. It's Command Option V. And as soon as I do that, you'll see here, now this clip has the exact same color match, so it really does look very consistent. And I can do it here too. Oops, sorry, I hit the wrong key. Right here. So Command Option V. And now this shot, there we go, has the same color tone to it. Really handy trick to know. Command C to tell it what clip you want to use as the base. Command Option V to apply it to other clips. Okay, a couple other things I want to go over here. Let's go over these different options right here. Okay, we're not going to go over every single one of them because we don't have time, but we're going to go over the key elements here. Okay, the first one you see here is for different audio and video effects. So sometimes you might be working on video and you want to make it look a little different, a little funky. Okay, well, there's a whole bunch of different ones that come with Final Cut Pro. You'll see on my screen here a few that actually don't come with Final Cut Pro. I'm going to give you tips on how to get access to those at the end of this class. It's a really handy trick. So let's say I want to make, find one that looks good. Let's say I want to give it a little bit of a film grain effect, okay? Well, all I have to do is take this and just drop it onto whatever clip I want. And so now you'll see that that shot has that kind of aged film look to it. Let's go to the beginning here. All right, so it adds that little grain to it. Not all of them are amazing. Some of them are just kind of cheesy, frankly. And we'll go over the extra ones that you can get in a little bit. The next one right here, very, very similar to the way iPhoto works, actually identical, or rather iMovie. You can have access to all of your iPhoto library here, so you can take photos and just drop them into your project, into your storyline. Okay, you can actually use those same hotkeys over here if you like. I'm going to delete that shot right now. Next, we have music, so if you want to add some background music to your film, you can add anything from your iTunes library. They also do give you access to, up here you'll see, Final Cut Pro sound effects. So it comes with the program itself, but you have access to a whole bunch of different Foley sounds. It's just another way of saying sound effects. And also here under iLife sound effects, you'll find in here mixed in, if you organize by time, you have access to some generic music. Okay, a lot of these can tend to get overused, and one thing to be aware of is that if you take music, let's say from iTunes that you got, maybe you saw a second ago a song by Beyonce. If you take a copywritten song and you put it into your video and then upload it to something like, let's say, YouTube, the one thing you should be aware of is that technically speaking, you're not really supposed to do that because of copyright laws. Now, I've done it in the past with certain songs, and I get an email from YouTube saying, we're not going to allow your video to be viewed on a mobile device. So you can't view it on an iPhone, you can't view it on an iPad. Other times, absolutely nothing. I don't get any grief from them at all. I recently did a video just of some drone footage just for fun, and I used a song by Daniel Powder. And no problem, not even a notice of any kind, and it was fine. It can get to be troublesome, and by that I mean legally complicated, if you make money off of it. If you're doing it just for fun, a lot of times they'll let it slide, but if you're doing it for promotional reasons, like if you make a commercial and you use song by, let's say, Lady Gaga, you could get in trouble for actually doing that. So just please be aware before you go using copywritten music. Okay, next we're going to talk about is transitions. So now, transitions, they have a whole bunch of them here. Some of them came over from iMovie, and there's a whole bunch of new ones too. And they work the same way that iMovie works at this point. If you want to add a transition, you just take it and drag it between your two shots, and that's it. So if I want to cross-dissolve, I drag it between these two. It's going to render it real quick. And I hit spacebar, and it will transition from one to the other. You couldn't really see that because it's rendering. We'll talk about that in a little bit. There's a trick I want to show you about render times. T stands for text. If you want to add in text, whether it's going to be a title or a subtitle, some sort of a thing you want to have at the bottom, you can see here, once again, we have a whole bunch, if I'm here under all, whole bunch of different options. Some of them can be a little funky. Watch out about getting too crazy with this. Same thing, by the way, goes for transitions. When kids work with things like Final Cut Pro and more so iMovie, they tend to get really crazy with the transitions and they have things flying and popping out of everywhere. It can be very distracting to your viewers, so I recommend keeping it at a minimum. So for the most part, I use some pretty basic titles, nothing too funky. If you want to add a title to just text or to your shot, when you go to drag it on, you drag it on top of your shot. So see how I have a little purple bar there? Well, that's where that shot is going to stick. Come on. Sorry. Oh, of course I picked the wrong type of title to use. Some of these you can layer, some you cannot. Let's do this. Okay. So I can drag this on top of this shot, and you see my title is on top of the shot. To actually put in the text, all I have to do is click here on this little purple bar, and now I click over here, and my inspector becomes where I can type in text. And if you want to change things like the font, on most of these you can. I don't know if you can on every single one. I don't believe you can on every one, rather. You can go here, and you see we have a bunch of different options here, and you can sort of mix them up a little bit too. So let's say you like this platinum look. You can choose platinum and then change it from Helvetica to pretty much any font in your computer. So you can go crazy with that. Okay. And as you scroll down here, of course, you'll see all your different text options. If you want to align it to the left, the right, center, change up the line spacing, tracking, etc. That's all right there. Okay, let's delete the text and move on to the next one, which over here is video generators. Now, you're not going to use this probably a lot. It's if you want a background more than anything. Sometimes if people are doing green screen, they'll get into using generators. So you'd have a background of some sort that would replace a screen that you're standing in front of. We're not going to really go over that today. That's more of an advanced class, and we'll probably do a video on that in the future. Now, the next one we have here is for themes. So this is, if you want all of your text and your transitions to kind of have a theme to them, you can do it here. So for example, if you want to use their stock documentary option, you'd click on documentary, you'd see their video generator for documentary, their transitions, and their titles. You by no means have to stick to this. And personally, I don't even really recommend it. But some people like it, and it is there if you want it. Now, you also see over here we have the universal symbol for share. So when you're done with your project, Final Cut Pro is pretty good as far as having a lot of flexibility. What do you want to do? You can create a DVD right from here. You can create a master file. That's the default thing that it does when you're going through this process. One thing that's probably worth noting is there is no save button. It is automatically saving every step that I do. So if something happens, if the power goes out, if my computer crashes, which almost never happens, it seems, it will automatically save. I'll pick right back up where I left off. You can go right from here to YouTube, Vimeo, Facebook. You can convert it to 720p for a Apple device like an iPad 2 as an example. Apple devices that run 1080p, for example, an iPhone 4S or later, I believe. Or you can just tell it where do you want the file to go and create an actual file. Okay, let's go over a couple of other things here. Let me throw in some music for a second here. We'll use some generic music so that this video doesn't get flagged for copyright infringement. And I'm going to just zoom in a little bit so you can see here what I'm working on. Okay. Go back to Arrow. Now, as you're going through and dealing with things like audio, you're going to probably want to create transitions and fades. Now, I'm zoomed in right now on this audio because I want to show you how to slowly fade in that music so it's not quite so abrupt. If you look over here towards the left-hand side of this clip, there's that little dot. Do you see that there? Well, I'm going to just take that dot and drag it, and you'll see it's creating this curve effect. And so what that means is this is how long is it going to take to actually get to the real volume. So I'm going to do 25 frames right now. So that's about 1 second. So when I hit play, you'll notice that it's not immediately there. Let's see here. Okay. Now you can also create other points where if you want to adjust the audio, you can. I actually mentioned this when we were talking about the range selector. So let's actually just do that right now, just so that you have an idea of how this works. So I'm going to use the little range selector tool here, and just pretend with me, if you will, that this portion of the clip gets a little too crazy. It needs to come down a little bit. Well, with that selected, I can put my cursor on this little black bar right here and just drag it down. Let's see if I can do that. Okay. And it may be a little difficult for you to see this, but what it's actually done is it's automatically transitioned it. So it's not just going to suddenly play at 19 decibels lower. You're not going to even be able to hear it at that point. But it's going to transition down. It's also going to transition back to where it was before we started this. So if I play it, you'll hear what it sounds like. Okay, that was a horrible example, but I just want to show you exactly how that feature works. Now, as you're dealing with audio levels here, okay, you really want the audio to fall somewhere between negative 12 decibels and negative 6. If it's much more than that, it's going to start to distort. That's always kind of been the standard as far as where the audio should fall between. Another thing I want to show you right now, which I alluded to earlier, was how to find all of the different shortcut keys that I've just gone over, because that can be a real nightmare to try to remember. Some of you, I'm sure, are at home writing down on a piece of paper all these different shortcut keys, and they are very helpful. And here's the easy way that you can access all of them. On your keyboard, all you have to do is hit Option, Command, and the letter K. And that will show you your keyboard layout and what all these different keys do. So let's say I'm having trouble remembering what any of these keys actually accomplishes. So let's say I can't remember what does the letter E do. Well, I can just click here on E, and it'll show you that when I don't use any modifier keys would be like Command, Option, Shift, etc., it's going to append it to the storyline. So it's going to put it at the very end of the storyline. Whereas if I hold Command and hit E, it's going to export using default share destination. So it's a good thing to have access to. You might even want to maybe even print this out. I don't even know if you can print it out, but it's a good thing to have access to. Command Option K reveals this screen. Now, the next thing I want to talk about has to do with rendering times. Now, as you add certain types of effects to your shot, it's going to need to process that change. And that's what we call rendering. And in the previous versions of Final Cut, what it would do is you'd have to hit Command R, and it would go through, and it was very painful, and it would render each individual shot. Well, one of the big changes in Final Cut Pro 10, and I love this change, is it automatically starts to render it if you stop working. So you'll notice right now, I have absolutely nothing left to render, because as I've been sitting here chatting with all of you, it's been rendering in the background. Now, here's where you can go to access those settings, and this is a good thing to go over. Go up to Final Cut Pro and go to Preferences. Okay, we have four different tabs at the top. I want to actually start here at the very beginning, which is Editing, and just make sure that it's the way you like it. So, for example, here's an important one. When you import a still image, how long do you want that shot to be? Do you want it to be 4 seconds or longer or less? If you're doing a Ken Burns-like film, you're going to probably want it more than 4 seconds. Transitions, the default time is 1 second. If you want it longer, you can click the little arrow up to go up or down to go down. Here under Playback, okay, this is what I'm talking about with Render. At the very top, make sure you do this. Go to check this box that says Background Render. Now, by default, I believe it's actually at 5 seconds. And you'll find that there's not many times where you aren't doing anything for 5 seconds on your computer. So I put mine all the way down to 2, so that even if I'm taking a quick little break and just grabbing something on my desk, it still has time to do something in the background. It'll start that render process. Okay? A couple other things here you should probably check out under Import. You can check out these different settings here. You know, organizing it. Do you want to copy the files to the events folder? Importing keywords. I don't know. You don't really need many of these. Under destinations, this is the share button here. So if you want to custom create the different destinations, if you want to add some locations, you can do that too. Well, everyone, before we go, I have two other little tips that I would like to give you if you want to jazz up your project and add different generators and backgrounds, plugins, all sorts of different effects. There's two resources I would really like to give to you. The first one is a free option. It's fcp.co. You do have to join. You have to become a member, but they have tons of different forums where people post different plugins that you can download for free. Also, another one, these guys saved my butt when it comes to using my drone. These guys have every effect out there you can imagine. If you're creating something a little bit funky, maybe a music video, something with a lot of action, be sure to check out their website. It is fcpeffects.com. Everything you can imagine, you'll find there. Well, that does it for today. I hope you enjoyed this class. If you happen to be watching us on YouTube, we really do appreciate it. If you click that little like button, leave us a comment below. If you're watching it on our website, if you liked it, leave us a comment there. And please be sure to check out our website and join if you haven't already done so. As I've said several times, we are a completely free service. We teach live and pre-recorded classes. You can check those all out on pcclassesonline.com. This is David A. Cox. You all have a wonderful day, and thanks for tuning in. Bye-bye.